I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome to the Football Ramble, the latest on Project Big Picture, and we head to the Romanian second division. It's Wednesday, the 14th of October. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Vinny Sandaracha.
Happy Thomason!
I just assume I'd be live.
Sorry, guys. Look, I'm in the wrong chair. You guys are weekend friends now, and I feel like I'm kind of like driving a wedge between you, and I didn't want to.
There was a big mix up there.
It was all me. It was all me.
It does feel weird because, Pete, you have never sat to my left.
No, I've got an eye line on the door, so any snipers attacking, I can sort of tell everyone quite early.
You're like Jason Bourne.
I always know where the exits are, even if I'm in Waterloo at W.H. Smith's.
Did you actually say your names? I don't think, did you?
Yeah, I did. I went through it. I panicked though. I didn't even look. I just assumed I'd be last.
Are you always last, Fish? Is that how it all works?
I think the only other time I've been second has been with you in the room, I think.
That's confusing.
I should have been more alert.
No, it was me.
I was just sat there going, what's going on here? Someone speak. I don't like silence.
And the people you work with.
Exactly.
My word.
How are
we the least professional?
Exactly. You know, it's a slow news day when we're going to be heading to the Romanian second division.
Lovely part of the world. Mm.
Yeah.
Big fan of Cluj and the other cities they have that I don't know.
I've never been.
You've also, you know, you always find things in the last place you look. And why don't we start with the last place we would have looked anyway for content?
True. Yes. True. We're going to save the Romanian second division for later, though.
Mm,
we're going to tease you with that.
Romanian dessert.
Instead, we're going to start with what I think is the biggest news in the last 24 hours. It's an international break, isn't it? So there's not a great deal going on. And we will get on to Project... Wait, what's it called?
Project Big Picture.
Project Big Picture.
There's Project Restart. There's too
honestly,
many projects, isn't it?
Too many
the thing that
around.
Gets me about anything governmental or organisational, they always come up with the name first. They always come up with the name. It's just, come on, guys. Just do the thing. You don't need to give it a name. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
We all know what it's for.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, this one's called Project Big Picture. We will get on to a little bit more on that in a minute because there has been a development overnight. But first, let's start with what I think is the biggest news in the last 24 hours. San Marino have secured their fourth ever competitive point in their history, and it's their first ever away point, as away clean sheet as well in the history of the club. They got a 0-0 draw with Liechtenstein in the Nations League yesterday.
I'm not going to pretend that I was watching that one live.
I wasn't watching either. I saw it on Twitter. But I gave it a little clap.
I did go back and have
gave
a little
it a clap.
Laugh.
On yeah, clap. Twitter.
Oh, well,
are you
nice.
One of those? Are you one of those people that actually laughs when you type LOL?
Yes.
Right.
Do you roll on the floor?
No. Ruffle.
Ruffle copters. Yeah. It was Helgi Kolvithson, the boss of Liechtenstein. He looked like he'd had a hard shift at the end of that match. He was like, he left Iceland for that. He was second in command at Iceland. He was like, oh, what is the point of this nonsense? But no, the most serene republic have managed it. Great news.
It's one of them stories you love to see, isn't it, Vish?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of what the UEFA Nations League was supposed to be about. You know, they weren't going to get anything from being pasted by teams left, right and centre. And now when they're facing, I suppose, more appropriate, quote-unquote, opposition, then, you know, they're going to get results like this. I mean, I was going to say it speaks of a bright future for San Marino, but their under-21s did get pasted 7-0 by Scotland.
So, it's a false dawn in many ways.
Hang on a minute. I've just been told that I said club when I referred to San Marino.
They're a club, an international club.
I'm so sorry.
I like it.
My brain's not functioning today. I have woken up to a flat tyre, so please forgive me. It's not been an easy ride today.
You've literally.
No,
easier than usual.
I still think you shouldn't have driven it, though. Probably shouldn't have driven it.
Yeah. There are run flats, but not having a tyre is not a run flat.
Yeah, no, I didn't drive it. I woke up to a flat tyre. Who gets flat tyres? I mean, I have had one before, but I can't really remember it. It's one of those things where when you get one, you think, what happened the last time this happened?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Jules, have you upset someone in your neighbourhood?
Maybe.
The old Stanley knife out.
It might be the puppy making all the noise.
Maybe it's turf wars.
Blame him.
Yeah. Don't you live in a part of... part of the world. I was about to say where you live then.
Please don't tell people where I live.
It's Borstal. She lives in Borstal.
We could do like one of those old magazines where you could collect like the shin bone of a dinosaur and put it together.
Yeah.
We'll just give out one part of Jules' address every week.
Yeah.
And you've got to keep coming back together. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd actually quite like that if it was not me, because right. I'd like to piece it together. I'm like a little detective in my spare time.
Oh, are you right? Okay.
Yeah. Detective. We just call you a detective.
God knows you're not a mechanic.
I'm absolutely not. What were you going to say, Vish?
But yeah, I wondered, because you live near people who work for rival broadcasters, let's say. So I wondered
tough
if
war, yes. I've seen that on Facebook, the little mobile video games you get. You might become a 99 level boss.
No, she is not puncturing my tyre, trust me.
I'm just saying, she's there, isn't she? She knows
what
you
we're friends.
Kate Mason
owns
knives or something. We're not talking about Kate Mason, but we could be.
Stuff.
Wouldn't they have knives? Just those claws. I've
got the train for the first time in
years.
Than that. No. February was the last. God, it's been about 6 months.
February 2013, you said.
How was it? What did you see? No, what were the smells? Right. What were the sights? What were the sounds?
I was actually surprised that there are actual banners on the chairs to say, don't sit here so that you can socially distance.
Oh, they don't have that on. And you clearly got a better train than I have. But they don't have that. Yeah,
Chiltern Railways.
Oh.
Did you go up to the ticket office and just went, one ticket to Terminus, please, sir?
One to Londinium, please. Yes, I am a child.
First, I could pass as one, to be fair.
First class, please. Oh, yeah. And I would like a buffet menu as well.
Yeah, there's no food or drinks on these trains.
No.
Because of your friend of mine, a COVID.
But yeah, no, actually, it wasn't too bad, Pete. Thanks for asking.
The San Marino of travel? Or the Liechtenstein of travel?
I'll call myself the San Marino. Do you know what I did love about that game, though? One thing I saw is that one of the players for his country, Mularoni, came on in the 86th minute and got booked 3 minutes later. What do you think he did?
What did he do?
Do you reckon he was told, get on the pitch and whatever you do,
mix
do
it
not
up.
Let us concede.
Yes, exactly.
So maybe it's a souvenir. You know, everyone wants their piece of history when you're part of something like that. And I wondered if, you know, I'll just take a booking from
you
this.
You can't get on the goal. The goal sheet. The old goal sheet. It's nice to have, like, your name's still up there. Sometimes you'll flick on the BBC final scores thing and it'll say who's been booked. And you're like, oh, he's got a goal. He hasn't got a goal. Yeah. He has not got a goal.
Good to get your name up there, though, isn't it? 151 matches they've played in their history. 4 draws and that's it.
Yeah, I mean...
Would you just quit? Would you just be like, you know what?
Quit the club.
Not bother.
Let's dissolve the club. But, yeah.
I mean, this is, I know I'm going to repeat what I said before, but I suppose this is an example of that is an absurd record that clearly speaks of a system that is not so much unfair because, you know, they're doing it, they're part of it to qualify for major tournaments, which is going to be their end goal. But yeah, I mean, the fact that you've contributed to a quarter of that must fill you with a great deal of pride.
Yeah,
as a San someone from San Marino.
San Marinians.
Like a
Pomeranian.
What are they called?
San Marinians.
Oh, actually?
No, I don't know. I'm just speculating. But I mean, they only sort of started with UEFA in the 80s or the 90s, didn't they? So it's not like they've got this huge, like, 100-year-long relationship with UEFA and that competition. So, well, obviously the competition's been running for a very short amount of time. But it's just good to see that they're getting some points on the board. It's nice. It's good.
It's
exactly what football is all about. And not just the big clubs.
7 minutes in. We've done 7 minutes on that. So I think we can move on now. We're going to try it. We're going to try and do a full show today.
I think 5 minutes were on your car.
Yeah, it was actually. All right. Should we talk about the project?
The project.
That project, no. Project Big Picture. Right, there has been some developments in the last 24 hours. And Vish, as a journalist, you were actually privy to some of this stuff. So at The Independent, you were actually told about the meeting yesterday. Several representatives from the EFL met in the afternoon to discuss how they felt about Project Big Picture. What were the results?
Yeah, so basically, just to take you to it from the start, there was a notification yesterday from the EFL that a set of EFL chairmen were going to be available, or rather representatives of EFL clubs were to be available for a Zoom call where they would kind of outline their collective stance, as it were, on Project Big Picture. And they included Peter Ridsdale, who was working on behalf of Preston North End, Tony Stewart of Rotherham United, Jez Moxley at Burton Albion, who is also an EFL board representative, Paul Scally at Gillingham, Charles Grant of Crewe Alexander, and Nigel Travis of Leyton Orient. And one of the, I suppose, one of the takeaway quotes from it came from Peter Ridsdale, who, when asked about, I suppose, the top to bottom of the proposal, said, is it a concern? 100%. Do I trust them? No, I don't. However, today the Football League has got a unique opportunity, if this remains on the table, to perhaps protect the Football League in the long term. Whereas at the moment, in the short term, there is a real danger. And I think that kind of tallies with my thoughts on it in particular, because I don't really know how much to give the good, or rather, I don't know really how much to pin on the bad, considering the good means that teams won't go out of business. Because, you know, Luke articulated it perfectly yesterday, where, you know, you don't have to save a drowning man. You can save a drowning man without them being indebted to you. I just don't think that's how football works now. I think the reason it is a thing is because those big teams see an opportunity to get what they want and give other people what they want. And what the big clubs are getting at the expense of everyone else is, you know, more than their fair share. But at the same time, it's like the person who does a year abroad to do work experience just to say they've done work experience, whether it's, you know, towards a medical degree where they go away and they help out, you know, in a part of the world that needs a lot of medical help. They're doing it for themselves, but someone is benefiting from that.
Yeah.
And so I find it really hard to square personally. But I can totally get why people are wary, especially, you know, it does need those 14. It does need 14 Premier League clubs to stump up and carry this through. But the inequality is already there, isn't it?
So yeah. Apparently, Lee Charnley is the representative for Newcastle United. And I just like the idea, and they're obviously doing it over Zoom. And I can just imagine the person who's got the arbitration kind of panel are going, or whatever, the panel are going, Lee, you've not turned your camera on. You've just got that default avatar of an egg. Yeah. Going, no, it's my face. That is my face. But I think, you know, they're going for everything they could possibly get with this particular deal that they have suggested. And of course, it's just such a suggestion. It's not going to happen. But do you think that this was kind of leaked deliberately to sort of go, this is a, you know, to show how crappy the idea was, or was it leaked deliberately on behalf of the Liverpool and the Manchester United to sort of go, right, this is what we want and this is the starting point? Like Luke said yesterday, this is the starting point of a negotiation. We're not going to get everything that we want, you're not going to get everything that you want, but maybe we can sort of dial this back a little bit, and the end product will be Manchester United and Liverpool and the Big Six. They get more power and more control on a product that they provide most of the money into. But, you know, I'd at this point in time, if Liverpool, Manchester United and those six want to F off and just play endless friendlies in the arse of nowhere and endless tournaments and play the biggest sides in Europe every week, at this point I'm like, look, fine. We'll have our little flavour country in the bottom half of the Premier League, and you know that's where all the blood and thunder football will happen. And just I'm in for that product. I can't be arsed with the homogenised kind of noodle salesman of Manchester United and Man City plying their trade around Europe, just playing the same sides every time. Look, it will make your product stale in the long run. So knock yourselves out, you dicks.
One of the details that I saw from a piece by Matt Slater in The Athletic, where he's written a really thorough guide to the pros and cons for different parties of Project Big Picture, was that as it was on the weekend, this was the 18th draft of the proposal. So obviously it's got to a stage where people have felt comfortable bringing it to public knowledge. Mm. And also bear in mind that meeting yesterday was called by the EFL, and the overriding message was that all the EFL clubs are up for it. Now, that was countered somewhat by the odd chairman and club board representative on Twitter when that news came out.
It's Accrington and someone else, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, Accrington, I think Lincoln City as well. But primarily, you know, the reason that meeting was called was to say, like, look, here are the chairman, they're up for it. So, you know, a lot of it is being streamed through. And you can understand it from their point of view. Like,
I was completely against it until I heard that Steve Gibson from Middlesbrough is very much for it. I was like, if one chairman needs a rest, financial help, it's Steve Gibson, who's been just working his arse off for decades now.
Yeah. Where do you, like, so, you know, Pete, you've been really articulate on this in the past.
It doesn't sound like me, Vish.
I think you might have been
hard. Very much the run flat of opinions. I am.
Well, I'm going to pump you full of tyre filler, whatever it is. But what do you think about this mafioso element of it, where we do you a favour and you pay it back, you know, potentially to eternity? Because at least there is a connection there. And one of the big issues between the top and the rest was really that there was no connection whatsoever, and they were just getting further and further away.
Yeah, I don't think it brings them any closer. I think I said before we got in here, the way that they're talking about women's football in particular, you know, completely outside the EFL 72 situation and the Premier League, I think is kind of telling. They're talking about having a governing body that just deals with women's football. That's a pro in the women's football column, because obviously a lot of the, certainly Premier League clubs want that. They think that, and the FA last year, I think they put in 10, 11 million. This new proposal from the Big Six is saying that we're going to pump in, you know, 50 odd million, 55 million or something per season for the women's league. And you sort of look at the teams that are proposing this, Manchester United and Liverpool. They've only very recently come round to the idea of women's football. So there's clearly money to be made. And I would say that is indicative of why these clubs are doing it. This isn't this great kind of like benevolent kind of fund for lower league football. This is a Project Moonshot power grab. Just get everything we possibly can and then dial it back if we need to. I think this is very much all about money. I don't think it brings the Football League any closer to the Premier League. In fact, it separates the Premier League into the haves and the have-nots, which is obviously already the situation in many cases.
Yeah, on that situation with the women's game, Susie Rack wrote an article, a very thought-provoking one, in The Guardian. Guardian, highlighting what you just mentioned there, Pete, regarding the money that would be filtered down into the WSL. It would be around £10 million. But I think the biggest issue, which Susie outlines in the article, really, is that these proposals are coming from the likes of Manchester United and Liverpool, who notoriously are known for having not really invested in their women's teams. The Glazers shut down the Manchester United women's team in 2005, shortly after they took ownership of Manchester United. And their reason for that was because they said that women's football wasn't part of the core business. So now I guess the thought is that why are you now invested? Why do you now want to be part of this now that we've managed to grow this into what it is? And Manchester United now are looking like one of the teams in the WSL. Myself and Vish were both at their game against Tottenham at the weekend.
Weekend friends.
and they are certainly going to be one of the teams who could potentially push for a top four spot or even challenge for a top three spot, when for so long it has been the same three teams that really kind of go for the title, the likes of Chelsea, Manchester City and Arsenal. So they have grown so much in the couple of years that they've been existing for. It's only their second year in the WSL now, and they've really, really grown as a club. So I think that maybe the thought of some people is, well, no, actually, we've done this. We don't really want you to be part of it.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. So Manchester United story, obviously, they became a club again in 2018. Manchester United women, rather. They became a club again in 2018. Got promoted.
I sure wasn't a country, Vish.
Sorry, yeah. It became a sovereign state in 2018. They got promoted from the Championship in 2019 and they finished fourth, albeit with a truncated WSL season in 2020. They're back to fourth of that win. They were top temporarily overnight because other teams hadn't played. But yeah, it does feel like a token part of the proposal. It's almost, something for the old people. Just, put there on the side that what would be, what could get more people on our side? What would be a good PR move? Oh yeah, that women's game. Do you remember that game we neglected for, 50 odd years? Why don't we just get that back in there as well?
It's a one-shot deal and there's no walking back from this. This does kind of like set things in motion that you'll end up in a situation that the league is in at the moment, where it's just a kind of, it's not a meritocracy, it's just two clubs just duking out every season pretty much.
I was going to add as well, at Kieran Maguire, who's otherwise known as the Price of Football on Twitter, he's done a really interesting thread basically breaking down what actually the EFL are due to get. And it's not just a straight 250 million. That's paid forward, but then they also get some of it back. And I think a lot of it is leveraged against future broadcast deals, which you know for a fact they're going to be lesser now, not least because of the lack of a Chinese investor on that front, but also just the way that the economics are of the world right now. So definitely worth checking out, because I think, understandably, there are some people who see it as a lifeboat, coming to get them. Mm. I think there are a lot more caveats than people realise.
In terms of the fans, though, they're still not in favour of this. Fans from supporters group of the top six have spoken out against Project Big Picture. They say the fans we represent are fortunate to support clubs that regularly secure the largest financial revenue in the Premier League, but we understand football doesn't work in isolation. We're totally opposed to concentrating the power in the hands of six billionaire owners and departing from the one club, one vote ethos of the Premier League.
For the last 10 years or something, found Liverpool as kind of positing that they are the community club as laughable in the extreme, the way they treated the people who live behind their stadium when they obviously extended it a little while ago, effectively ghettoing whole communities. I find it laughable that they're still able to trade on that. Same with Arsenal, same with Chelsea, all the big clubs effectively. What you want is an evil owner like what Newcastle have got. And don't trade on being a community club at all, and just let the communities deal with that. But no, I think it's great that sports clubs are thinking about they're the only people who are actually thinking about the big picture, in this situation, and long may that continue.
There's nothing really to add to that. It is absolutely spot on. Bear in mind, this is the week they were also told they've got to pay £15 a pop to Nottingham TV. But
enjoy.
There's that Premier League meeting
today. Yeah.
So Wednesday, as this is recorded, and I think part of that is going to include hammering down that price from $14.99 to $9.99. So they do care about fans, don't they?
I'll say, what about the people who've already paid? Presumably you can already buy the £14.99 one right now to watch the match, or can you pre-register or something? So will they have to refund those people
what,
a certain
you mean
amount
you
of money?
Haven't tried yet, Pete?
No, surprisingly, well, me and Vish were both supporting the Uniteds at the weekend, so we thought we'll go. I'll get him on Zoom, and he'll put a mirror up to his laptop screen. It'll all be very confusing.
Yeah, we're going to game the system.
We're going to game the system by going twos on it,
and then. Pete's going to do an Instagram live of his side with another mirror so that other people can watch.
Yes,
that.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to become the Be Out Sports of North London.
All right, let's take a break now. After this, we will, as promised, be heading to the Romanian second division. And there's a match tonight, England-Denmark. We'll talk about that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm Martin Keown, and you're listening to Football Ramble.
Yeah, maybe just once more about the Football Ramble. That'd be all right.
Hi, I'm Martin Keown, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. I'm Martin Keown.
I'm Martin Ramble.
Oh, I'm so glad Martin. You did that, because I remember once I tried to get something like that for a mate of mine for his birthday. Mm. And I won't say who the player was. I mean, I'll tell you afterwards. But he said my mate's name wrong, and I was like, I was too nervous to ask you this in the first place. I can't ask you to do this again. So I thought about like doctoring the message myself.
Yeah. So did he put too many syllables in the name, or just not?
Cause... No. He just said the wrong name. Like I told him Ben, and he said something else. But I thought Bam. About like. I thought about kind of doctoring later. But like,
what
I'm
doing?
So... Hi, Ben. Happy birthday, mate. You
know. Do either of you remember Daz Sampson from Eurovision?
No.
Do you not remember
Who's
him?
Daz Sampson?
You don't remember Daz Sampson?
No, I really don't. What song did he do?
He did the song which was called, hang on a minute, how does it go? Oh no, I can't think of it. It's go on, look it up, Pete.
Daz
up.
Sampson.
Daz Sampson, Eurovision.
Eurovision.
It's like known as sort of like the worst best Eurovision.
Teenage Life. Right.
Play
okay.
the intro, and trust me on this, you will recognise it.
Yeah.
Anyway, my little story about Daz Sampson is he's a little bit of like a cult hero in the Eurovision world.
Right.
And I tweeted him and asked him to do a birthday message for my other half because I thought it would be absolutely hilarious. And he did it.
Oh, fair play.
He played the guitar and everything.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
That's all right, isn't it? In the DMs.
So sometimes they get it right.
Didn't ask for the guitar,
can you do
I?
It again without the guitar, please?
All right, it's time for this.
Just email show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
epoch defining.
Oh, that's the first time I've heard that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You like?
I like it.
I'm a little lower in the mix than I was last time I did one of those jingles.
Who's the bird?
Who's the bird? A singer-songwriting duo from America on Fiverr who charged me $175 every time I want one of those bad boys. So, yeah. patreon.com/footballramble.
Money well spent. Show at footballramble.com. Thank you for your email, Ruri Poole, who says, "Dear Ramblers, after hearing about the various shouts heard during a football match, it got me thinking about the best things written about football and football matches. I'm fortunate enough to try my hand at a bit of reporting for the local paper here in the Isle of Man, where football is serious but somewhat hilarious. One of my finest moments was when describing a goal assisted by a player named Dylan Pickles, that is his actual name. I used my journalistic license and said that the aforementioned gherkined his way to set up the goal."
Nice.
Do you like that?
I do.
You like that? I tried to insert as many fun things as possible into the articles. And just this last weekend, I've included the infamous Ray Hudson's stung like vinegar into my report. So I was wondering if you had any or seen any things as stupid as this. Fish, have you ever put any good old
little annoying kind of jokes,
little jokes into your articles?
Yeah, honestly, I've written some horrendous shit in my time. even going back to yesterday. I think one thing I've always tried to do is avoid cliches, but then you end up creating your own and they're worse.
There's a reason why they're cliches, because they are forensically accurate.
Yeah, they work, don't they?
It's a bit like, you know, going for a walk and be like, I'm not going to go down that path, I'm going to walk through this mud.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I've written some. I wrote that someone. Why am I even doing this?
Go on, go on.
So really early on when I
had, love that you have to start it with that. Like, this wasn't recently. I've got when much was, better in my.
Really early on, I started every sentence with a letter that spelled out "f off."
No, I did. There was one time when I was talking about how part of being more transparent in football was about how needing to be shown behind the curtain, as it were. And I wanted to articulate that in a way it was like, you know, you're reluctantly being shown behind the curtain, like it was a heavy duty curtain or something like that. And I put this phrase out there and I sent it to my editor, and my editor called me and he was like, "Mate, you can't say that they had a look behind the iron curtain. That has a very different meaning." And I was like, Oh, yeah.
That's got another thing, hasn't it? Yeah.
That's totally different whatsoever. So, I've tried to be like pithy and funny when I was younger. And thankfully, I don't do any of those things now. But like, you know, saying that someone's bringing a saxophone to a gunfight, you know, shit like that.
I like that. That's all right.
What about like headline writing, though? That's like one of the funnest parts, surely.
Yeah, you get to do it.
You don't really get to do it. Right. Yeah. I mean, you do. I mean, obviously, there are some very good ones. But the people who are good at it are very good at it, and the people who are bad at it are very, very bad at it. Mm. So, no, it's definitely a skill.
I sort of forget about journalists that they have to have someone, you know, checking through their work and asking what they meant by a particular sentence or a particular phrase. That would annoy the hell out of me, having to explain jokes and stuff to people who perhaps aren't quite as funny as you are.
But you appreciate people checking up on their jokes rather than just removing them altogether.
Right, okay.
Because then they're just removing all of your colour, I suppose, yeah. Like the reason you've done it. Because, I mean, like, this is going to sound properly lame, but you do get like a little bit of a rush being like, oh, when you've written a good line and you see it in there and like, people respond to it. But yeah, I mean, that's just part of my pathetic existence, really. That's how I get my kicks.
Well, one of the things, though, that I don't think a lot of people would realise is that there are so many good puns out there that you can use for headlines and stuff. But a lot of the time, especially in print, you actually are restricted to a word count and you're restricted to what fits on the line. Because when I was doing my journalism course, we had to practice it. And there were so many good lines I came out with and then they wouldn't fit.
Right.
So then you're like, oh, you can't use that. So you have to change it to something that's a bit naff. So I reckon that sometimes some of the naff ones in print are naff because they have to be naff.
Yes. Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Good point, yeah.
Let's let the journos off for now, yeah?
Yeah.
Sometimes they have to be a bit naff. Keep your emails coming in, show at footballramble.com. Right, let's talk about some football that is on tonight. Although, so Nations League's back, England against Denmark later. I feel like we should just like stop because we've beat the number one team in the world now, Belgium.
Yeah.
I don't think, do we need to play this one?
Presumably we're the number one team now, aren't we? Isn't that how the FIFA rankings work? Are we not number one now?
I think so. It's basically like prison, isn't it? Like now we're the top dogs.
Yeah.
you give up. Like, so I don't
give us our Netflix documentary and we'll just retire into oblivion. Yeah.
Should we get a bit serious about this, though? Because just a little bit of team news ahead of this one. Kieran Trippier reportedly has left the camp to attend an FA hearing over a betting charge he received in May. And Ben Chilwell has also left the camp. Now, Gareth Southgate always has to answer to it. I feel like he's just having to always answer to negativity at the moment. And it doesn't help, especially with everything COVID related at the moment as well. But he has said the Trippier departure is just yet another distraction. There's not a lot I can say about it, really. It's not something which is in my control. I have to focus on preparing the team with the players I have available. And we always find solutions. It's an opportunity now for somebody else.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation for Trippier in particular, because I thought he coped really well in the matches he played over the last week. And I think Chilwell and Trippier both could add something to the England side. And it's just a bit of a shame that they're kind of missing out on this occasion.
Yeah, we'll probably see quite a few changes for this match. What do you reckon about Harry Kane starting, Fish? Or do you reckon that Gary will leave him out?
It's club versus club, mate. It's the classic football debate.
Yeah, I wonder if he's had a word with Gary, old John.
Yeah.
Old Johnny M. And
I think he plays tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see why he wouldn't play. You can take him off after an hour and he's had a decent amount. I mean, obviously, this is a competitive game, by the way. It's quite annoying, though, that not only do we lose our only left back, but we lose the other person who was playing left back instead of him as well. Yes. What is it with the right side of England? Just everything is loaded towards that side now. Yeah. I know Jonathan Lewin, The Guardian's written a piece about how England might be back to their dark old days of not having a left-sided winger anymore, which is interesting, really, definitely worth reading out. And I suppose the way that England play now, you don't necessarily need that. But as you see with a team like Manchester United as well, when you don't have a left foot, that does actually cut you off from, I suppose, playing a certain way up the pitch.
It slows you down, certainly. Yeah. I mean, you've got to be looking for sort of like Saka, surely, to sort of fill that.
Yeah, although, do you not think Saka... I don't think Saka is a... He's not a defensive left-sided player, though. I wonder if we're looking at him totally wrong because he is left-footed.
I'm just thinking, because square pegs around a hole, you need someone.
It's not a long-term thing. But I wonder if we're doing Saka a bit of a disservice by expecting him to fulfil that role, because there's no reason why he couldn't. You know, he's got all the craft and guile to be further up the pitch and creating, as he does for Arsenal.
You'd want to see him there, but yeah. I just fear that we need someone who can put the shift in it.
I'd quite like to see, just for jokes, I'd quite like to see Harry Maguire there. Just like see what happens.
Well, he back in the last international tournament, he loved to surge up the field, didn't he? He loved a little run, but I think the way
let's not do that. Please don't.
But I think we're looking at sort of England, and obviously they've come in for a bit of criticism because of the way they played against Belgium. You know, it looked unconvincing, but it was a win, and the best international sides do occasionally look a bit crap every now and again. You know, this is Southgate is pragmatic. Best, you can kind of foster this feeling of joy and success when you're in the camp and stuff with your inflatable unicorns and stuff. But fundamentally, you don't have enough time with the players to instill that much tactical nous. You have to either go prey on their idea of intensity, or just sort of understand that these guys are professionals and they can play in a certain way. And there are fundamental limitations when managing an international side, even more so in this truncated season. It's best to rely on the players' individual sort of professionalism and sort of go, look, this is the system we're going to play. You understand it. I understand it. Let's just get on with it and just control games rather than this gung-ho slightly, you know, we've got to get the most out of our attacking players. Well, we did that in the international competition and we scored so many goals before lockdown, so many goals. But did we look better? I would argue we looked at way more fragile back then. I think that match against Belgium, we looked in control in a way that I've not seen in quite a long time. And for me, that's how you win international competitions. This is how you get a little bit further than we got last time. So, yeah, enjoyable. Enjoyable.
I have a bit of a working theory, which may prove to be garbage by the time I finished it. But essentially, if you're a team playing week in, week out, it's really hard to flitter between being really attacking and free-flowing and then being really rigid and defensively sound and, I suppose, you know, relying on counter-attacks solely. And that is difficult week to week. I wonder, for an international team who play every now and again...
An international club.
sorry, the international club, who then go into a major club competition in the summer. Whereas actually, you know, maybe that is a bit easier to sway because you get that time before a cluster of games that you're going to get. Bear in mind, obviously, England are playing three games here where they're playing a variety of different opposition, having played Wales, Belgium, the best team in the world, and Denmark, who England should expect to be, you know, on any given day, but have to play well. So I do wonder with Southgate if having the extremes isn't necessarily a bad thing or something that isn't sustainable, to be honest. And I wonder if he's working out in his head. The only thing he does have to flip over, though, is making those in-game changes that then can flip that one way or another. Can then get more defensive when they've got that lead or, you know, go more attacking when they need to draw level or pick up a lead. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see. And as I've kind of said throughout all of this, it's really hard to gauge too many concrete conclusions, despite the fact that it's my job to do so day in, day out.
Well, you've gone from Wales to Belgium. Like, so two very different sides. One side is not going to come go at you quite as much. Belgium will. And they played in two very different styles in both those matches. And I think they both did themselves an immense credit, I think, the way they played.
Yeah. And you know, a player like Jack Grealish, a player like even Saka, just because we mentioned him, are going to be two players who are able to allow you to do that twist in an instant, in just one substitution. So, you know, I feel quite optimistic about not just this game, but over the last week that we've just seen. Certainly more so than I did the week before. And I'm not someone who had any reservations about Southgate or this England side.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a good theory you've got there, Vish. It has felt like there's been a lot of matches in this international break. It's felt really long to me.
Mm.
You said there's three games. three games, Wales, Belgium, and then tonight against Denmark. But the next international break, which is middle of November, there's actually going to be one less game for England because the game against New Zealand is now not going to happen. New Zealand have confirmed they won't travel for the friendly on the 12th of November, citing the shifting nature of travel restrictions and commercial flight availability under COVID, which means that we do not have certainty we would assemble a squad at Wembley. Now, to be honest, I'm not really that surprised about this. You know, you hear about a lot of different countries and the way they're handling COVID. Mm. And New Zealand have been one of those that have been extremely strict about everything. I've actually got a friend who has travelled to New Zealand because her partner is from there. So he has citizenship. And she had to wait about 3.5 months to get a visa to be able to go with him because they've just had a newborn baby. So they wanted to travel out there to visit family. And it has honestly been such a ball ache for them to be able to do that. And he's a citizen and they're together. So it seems kind of crazy, but they are one of the countries that have been extremely strict about this. So this doesn't really surprise me that a country like that have decided, you know what, it's a friendly. Do we need to go?
It's outside the scope of a one private jet flight, doesn't it? Because you've got to refuel somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
It's almost like they're responsible adults.
Yeah. It's almost as if they understand the bigger picture.
Yeah. Weird that, isn't it? It's so weird. They had one confirmed COVID case yesterday in New Zealand. You know, they've massively got it down. I think
they are an island, mate, and there are certain advantages living on an island.
There's us. Yeah.
But you know, they're absolutely doing the right thing here. I mean, I cannot believe they're playing friendlies at the moment. I have similar reservations about the Nations League. I can understand why you need to get those playoffs done and dusted, it's all the more important that they're one leg rather than two, but I know I'm part of the problem here because, for example, I'm covering two Premier League games on the weekend, but as we're getting through, you know, to different regions of the country on a three-tier system, the fact that we're travelling around and playing all these games, I know they're in their own little bubble and
taking you're in your Honda Jazz
necessary, and I'm in my Honda Jazz, which
at least you've got four tyres at work.
Yeah, just about. I mean, to be fair, my four tyres combined would probably make one of your big motor tyres.
Monster jewels.
Small people do tend to drive big cars.
Are they right? Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
Just lastly on that as well, and like, this is going into uncharted territory as well, but like, when we're calling back for fans to be back, and I know that there's obviously complaints about people who are allowed to be indoors at various different events, but like, how can fans come back, really, given the tier system, given the issues that still arise in this country?
It's unworkable.
incredibly mad. Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised though if a different friendly gets rescheduled because that one's now not on.
Well, they to be said the talk. That, yeah. They said we're going to fight tomorrow.
It's like Sunday League, like tweeting out, be like, oh, by the way, we got a spare pitch.
Man United, Kane.
Anyone?
all right. Well, good luck to England tonight against Denmark. Come on, England. Let's move on and finally get to the Romanian second division. We've been teasing you with it, and you've probably been seeing it all on Twitter anyway already.
I don't know what I've teased about it.
Like it's the biggest thing ever. But anyway, we're going to end on it because it's genius. Nicolo Napoli, the manager of Romanian side FC Craiova, I think I've said that right. He's been sacked for a seventh time. He has managed them seven times and has been sacked for the seventh time. I mean, why? Why would you go back? What's he doing?
I'll turn to Visha this one. Is this the Seth and Summer of the OC, a kind of on and off relationship this guy's got with?
They didn't break up seven times though, did they?
It was pretty much up there, wasn't it?
Because yeah, she thought he was cheating on her.
Who of the OC?
Seth and Summer.
Yeah.
Rachel Bilson and the funny guy.
Yeah, I remember that.
The wisecracker.
Are you an OC fan?
Yeah, I'm a huge OC fan.
Wow, I did not know this.
Yeah. Here we go.
Put a little Wonder Woman. That's what sealed the deal, apparently. That was the Wonder Woman costume. That was...
And then they did the upside down Spider-Man kiss as
yes,
well.
Yes, that's times. Right. Great times.
I don't know why they keep taking him. I mean, he must be really good in whatever the bed equivalent of football management is. Because that's the only reason he's been back.
He must be really bad since he's been sacked seven times.
Yeah, but he's come back six times, hasn't he? He'll probably come back a seventh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it does feel like, you know, that mate and... who keeps getting back into that relationship. And you're like, all right, there's obviously something there behind closed doors that I'm not seeing because this isn't...
Never slag them off. Never slag them off.
Did you used to play for Juve, though?
Yeah, well, I mean, but you're sounding like them. Oh, you don't know him like we do.
pre-90s Juve.
He's good when it's just me and him.
He's got good sides.
I can change him.
When the good times are good, they're really good.
Yeah, that old cliche. Instagram photos together when they hire him for the seventh time.
Holding that scarf up again.
Yes.
And then just rolling it up and putting it in a fire when he gets sacked for the seventh time. Lovely. There you go. That's your Romanian second division news. We've covered everything today and we've managed around 40 minutes. I'm well impressed about that, by the way.
Look, we may have deviated from the plan here and there. Talking about Eurovision stars, et cetera, but look.
I was actually going to ask Charlie to cut that bit out because no one actually has actually ever heard of it.
just the way that, like, to get to how long we've got to, we had to Google... within a part of that show, we Googled someone from Eurovision who didn't even win.
No, of course he didn't win. It's England.
Of course he didn't win, given the tripe that Eurovision bore out.
I enjoyed it.
What did you do at school today?
Awful.
Right, should we go before I start singing?
No, I think we should sing. We can get up to 45.
Hey, you've sung already. You've sung the OC.
I bottled it though, didn't I? I kind of did that kind of silent.
Armed it.
Hey,
that's getting clipped.
Did you see that?
You just call me a pussy.
This laddish behaviour shall not stand, Vish.
Hey, we got 40 minutes in and I hadn't sworn. I was quite impressed by that after that little swear box tweet that went out.
Yeah, it was me and you at the top of the league, wasn't it?
I was
definitely at the top of the league. Someone who's going to swear needlessly.
You were definitely top. Yeah. Vish was third.
I was on
the
podium. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I was fourth. I came below Vish and I think I've proved that's the right place because you swore before me today. I was on swear check.
You called me a pussy.
Let's get out of here. Jesus Christ.
I think there should be a warning at the start of the show that if you are listening with children, turn it down at around 40 minutes. Pete, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Vish.
I don't want anything to do with this.
On tomorrow's show, Kate, Vish, you're back. You can swear some more. And Jim Campbell's going to be here as well. Bye-bye. Say bye, Vish.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.